For CertSecurity.com, I'm Rob Westerveld. You're listening to Security Wire Weekly for June 4th, 2008. In this edition, Information Security Magazine's Neil Reuter explores how vulnerable the nation's power plants and other vital systems are to a cyber attack. We'll review how some companies are locking down their systems. Reuter interviews the CEO of Industrial Defender, a company that specializes in the security of critical infrastructure systems. Also, a brief review of the news, several data breaches to report. Data is at risk at Walter Reed Medical Center, State Street Bank, and the Bank of New York Mellon. Up next, Neil Reuter on the security posture of companies in vital sectors, but first, this message.
When it comes to analyzing a network, protecting enterprise data, or fighting malware, you can plop down thousands of dollars for a commercial product, or you can get tons of great functionality from a free tool. Let CertSecurity.com show you how some of the industry's best free and open source tools work in our exclusive screencast series. Each month, one of CertSecurity.com's best experts will offer a step-by-step video presentation showing you how to use the most powerful tools and software, including Nessus, Snort, UTM, and so much more. And it's all free. Don't wait. Watch and learn today. Visit searchsecurity.com/screencast. That's searchsecurity.com/screencast.
And we're back. The nation's critical infrastructure providers have been called onto the carpet by a congressional subcommittee. Information Security Magazine's Neil Reuter explains in this interview.
This is Neil Reuter for searchsecurity.com. Recently, the information security posture of the United States' critical infrastructure has been called into question. To help us understand the special problems of this sector, we are speaking today with Brian Ahern, President and CEO of Industrial Defender. Industrial Defender provides security products and services for supervisory control and data acquisition, better known as SCADA systems. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Neil. Thanks for having me.
Brian, last week a House subcommittee just slid into the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission and the North American Electric Reliability Corporation, that's FERC and NERC. They were called to task for their response to last year's Aurora test, which successfully hacked an electricity company. Subcommittee Chairman Representative Jim Langevin said, "I think we could search far and wide and not find a more disorganized, ineffective response to an issue of national security." Political posturing notwithstanding, Brian, are our electricity providers taking cybersecurity seriously enough?
It's a great question, and you know, they're really utilities have addressed this in varying degrees over the last 5 years. I mean, this NERC regulation that's been enacted into law this year dates back to 2002 as NERC Urgent Action Standard 1200. And the standard is actually written by the electric utility industry itself. So we in our past 6 years have seen varying degrees of effort by utilities in addressing this concern. At the end of the day, I think the enactment into law of this standard is really forcing an action right now. I think there was a general sense of uncertainty as to whether the standard would actually been adopted into law. So those that had placed little value in addressing the risk here probably weren't well prepared. But undoubtedly right now, the standard's in place and the industry is moving forward to take action.
And yet, FERC Chairman Joseph Kelleher said that security standards are adequate, but asked for real enforcement authority. Brian, is he on target? Are companies in these vital sectors going to become as secure as they should be, unless they're required to?
Yeah, and these industries that you describe, you know, all of them would prefer not to be regulated by the federal government. And it's unfortunate that the electricity industry, on the heels of the August 2003 blackout, ended up where it did. There's marked evidence and fairly widespread agreement that the utility industry has not invested in its infrastructure over the years. You have a result like the August 2003 blackout, with widespread impact, and of course it's going to involve the federal regulations. If you look at these other sectors, they all, to your point, have standards and guidelines established and are working collectively as an industry to try to self-regulate. Do I think down the line regulations will be enforceable across all industries? I think it's only a matter of time. Once again, there's varying degrees of acceptance of the need. The tier one, you know, your large integrated oil companies, your chemical companies, these folks have been evaluating this from a risk standpoint and making requisite investments. Some of the tier two, tier three players, it's a balancing act between investment offset by risk tolerance. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the electricity industry is the first industry with a standard. Other industries have looked at it closely, are modeling some of their own guidelines after it with the hope that it can be self-regulated. But in my opinion, it's only a matter of time before the federal government puts mandates in across these industries.
Brian, let's talk about the special security challenges of SCADA and process control systems as they evolve.
And, you know, the real issue that the industry faces right now is the convergence of the real-time enterprise environment with the production environment and the issues that these systems face as a result of that complete end-to-end access point. The challenge for SCADA and process control system security is different depending on whether you're talking about legacy infrastructure or you're talking about next generation systems. And if you think about in the US, you know, in much of Western Europe, when we went through this period of industrialization, it was the late 80s and 90s, a time where security wasn't at the forefront, a time where, you know, the introduction of deregulation and privatization and this whole concept of the need for interoperability. Well, the problem is that today we're faced with this, the challenge of these legacy systems that have become integrated into the business environment, and how do you secure them? There's a fundamental difference in the prioritization around securing enterprise systems than there is in securing mission-critical control systems. When you're on the enterprise, the first thing that you're really trying to address is the confidentiality of data. Secondly, the integrity of data. And then thirdly, the availability of the data. When you transcend down into the operational environment with SCADA and process control networks, the most important aspect of the operation is availability, the uptime of the asset. And so availability first, integrity second, confidentiality third. So the challenge right now in the industries is how do you preserve these legacy investments that were low bandwidth network, not the beneficiary of 100 megabit, 1 gigabyte high-speed switching networks, not the beneficiary of massive investments in IT infrastructure. How do you deploy technology and work with customers to preserve that legacy investment? Because let's face it, the industries that we're talking about are industries that are capital constrained, not large wholesale budgets to do wholesale replacement. So how do you secure legacy infrastructure while at the same time enable the customer's ultimate objective of an end-to-end integrated real-time operation? The other challenge is because many of the SCADA systems are provided by OEMs, large companies like a Siemens or an ABB or a Honeywell. The deployment of security patches, that concept of patching your system, you might be able to do it on the online retail side. You don't do that in the process control SCADA arena because you need the OEM that's got the application to validate the integrity of the application against the patch before you can deploy it. And so the end users, the customers themselves, their hands are strapped in that they have an available patch from a Microsoft or a Unix provider. They're looking to their OEM to validate that that patch won't adversely impact. What's that lag time? And oh, by the way, don't underestimate the fact that many of these OEM providers are now pushing next generation Microsoft systems, and a lot of legacy systems are Unix. And so that's the challenge in the industry. The best practices approaches of perimeter security, network security, host security all apply. The way in which you deploy technology in a legacy environment while at the same time preserving the integrity of that application is the challenge that the industry faces. Now, I heard a utility expert at a conference a couple years ago when asked about the adoption of Microsoft as the basis for their operational systems. And his response, quite frankly, was the concept of Control-Alt-Delete is alarming to us, which is why, if you look historically, what's happened is the widespread adoption of Unix for mission-critical infrastructure as well.
Brian, there have been a scattering of security incidents involving critical infrastructure, but no obvious terrorist or criminal threat. Are we worrying too much about this?
Yeah, and I think if the federal government and the private sector are looking at this from a terrorist perspective, certainly I don't think you can come up with a rational explanation for the magnitude of the investments necessary. It's been well documented that the threats are far more greater inside, the internal threat is far greater than the external threat. Now, you wouldn't hear a lot of these incidences for a couple reasons. One, you ask yourself, do they have the systems in place to measure incidences? Point one. Point two, if you were a mission critical infrastructure company and you had an incident, would you want to be the first to raise your hand and draw attention to yourself? And that's part of the problem right now, the private sector and public sector debate over who's got ultimate responsibility for securing the nation's mission critical infrastructure. If you're an investor-owned utility, and you had an incident and you were forthright, which is what the NERC standard is saying, is if you have an incident, you need to bring this forward. But if you're an investor-owned utility and you've had an incident, do you want to raise your hand and draw attention to yourself, or do you want to do what you can to minimize the exposure, both the operational risk exposure as well as the public risk exposure? So these industries need to look at this first from a risk tolerance perspective. What's the risk to my operation? Point one. Point two, okay, outside of the internal risk, what's the external risk? And where does mandates and compliance stand in this?
So, in that sense, the question facing these companies is the same as it is with most companies. What's the risk and how much risk am I willing to take on? That is, of course, unless the government imposes requirements with real teeth.
Now, the NERC SIP standard does have some real teeth in it. It's got monetary fines associated with noncompliance, which is we're seeing driving action. But that standard in particular is so vague and subject to interpretation, and everybody interprets the standard based on their own willingness to accept risk. It's a function of interpretation of standards, avoidance of penalties, and willingness to accept risk.
We've been speaking with Brian Ahern of Industrial Defender. Thank you very much for your time, Brian.
My pleasure. Thank you.
This is Neil Reuter for SearchSecurity.com.
And finally this week, we've got several security breaches to report. State Street acknowledged a data breach recently. The investment bank said a contractor hired to conduct data analysis lost a disk drive containing the personal information of more than 5,000 employees and 40,000 customer accounts. The breach was disclosed 4 months after State Street learned of the problem. The issue stems from the former Investors Bank and Trust Company, which it acquired in 2007. IBT contracted out a legal support service to review its electronic records and compile data for federal regulators. It was part of the acquisition in 2007. The data was initially encrypted, but State Street said the vendor unencrypted the information when it loaded the data onto computer equipment, which was stolen from its facility. Also this week, the Bank of New York Mellon is beefing up its security policies and implementing encryption. The bank said third-party couriers lost backup storage tapes twice this year, and it potentially exposed the data of approximately 4.5 million people. In addition to the review of its policies and procedures, Bank of New York Mellon said it would require, when technically feasible, direct encrypted transmission of confidential data that's sent outside the company in order to reduce the need for data storage tapes. And finally, a smaller breach took place at Walter Reed Army Medical Center. About 1,000 people were affected there. Medical Center officials said an employee may have downloaded a peer-to-peer file-sharing program onto a medical center computer, and the program exposed a file containing the data. Now, medical center officials said the information did not contain any protected health information, such as medical records, diagnosis, or prognosis for patients. Well, that ends this edition of Security Wire Weekly. Be sure to check out our previous podcast by going to our podcast landing page at searchsecurity.com/podcast. And as always, you can get the latest news and information at our news page at searchsecurity.com/news. For now, I'm Rob Westervelt. Have a great day.